Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. What is the information technology strategy for the U.S. Department of Homeland Security? How is DHS modernizing its IT infrastructure and ensuring IT investments align with its overall mission? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Richard Spires, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Richard, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back.
Michael, it's great to be back.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is George Kruiser. George, welcome.
Thank you.
Richard, let's start off and begin with the department itself. Our listeners are very familiar with the Department of Homeland Security in the midst of its seventh year, but perhaps you can give us an overview of its mission and continued evolution.
As you probably know, the department earlier this year completed the quadrennial Homeland Security Review. And as part of that review, decided that it's really focused on five mission areas. And just let me very quickly go through those. Mission area one is preventing terrorism and enhancing security of the country. Two, securing and managing our borders. Three, enforcing and administering our immigration laws. Four, safeguarding and securing cyberspace. And then the fifth is ensuring resilience to disasters. What I have found amazing in my 1 year here is just the, as you can imagine, the breadth and diversity of what that entails to carry out those five mission spaces. And it's very, very different, like my experience at the IRS, where, I mean, clearly we had different constituencies, but we were administering the tax laws of this country. We're much more focused than what I see here at the Department of Homeland Security.
So with such a critical mission, and you kind of hinted at the scale of operation we're looking at, would you describe how DHS is organized, the size of the budget, full-time employees, and a sense of the mission support that IT actually supports?
Well, let me start with the end. The reason I'm the CIO here and accepted the position is because I believe IT is a foundational and critical element to the success of an organization such as Homeland Security. In fact, I would say that it is as important as any function in assuring mission effectiveness today. The scope and scale of the organization, quite large, 200,000 employees plus, quite a few different mission sets from the standpoint that we actually have 22 individual operating organizations that carry out those five missions that I alluded to before. Not all of them have their own IT departments. Many of the smaller ones are actually served by my organization directly. But most of them have IT organizations. Some of them have designated CIOs. And those CIOs have a dotted line responsibility to myself, where I have the overarching responsibility and authority over the whole IT function for DHS.
Now that we have a sense of the larger organization, I'd like you to dive down into your specific role as the Chief Information Officer. If you could tell us what's really under your purview, how you're organized within the CIO office, and how you support the overall mission.
Well, starting with the top, I just stated that I have overall responsibility and authority for all of IT across the department. So when it comes to things like looking at the overall budget of the organization and supporting that whole budget process and the capital investment planning and investment control process for the whole department, you know, including working with all the organizations on their Exhibit 300 submissions, which are the submissions that need to be made to OMB for the large IT programs, essentially handling those kinds of departmental functions where we are the, if you will, liaison to many of the stakeholders, including the Hill, OMB, GAO, and the like. All right. So that's one role that we play. The other role that we play is that we actually have an operational role within my organization. On the enterprise side, we've decided to consolidate down to two enterprise data centers. The operations of those data centers are within my organization. And so we work with the components as we're moving in systems into those data centers. We also have responsibility, overarching responsibility for our OneNet, although we rely heavily on CBP for the day-to-day operations of that today. And finally, in addition, for the headquarters organizations, and that is about 10,000 individuals, we provide day-to-day IT support. So desktop support, things like the email service and phone service and those kinds of basic IT capabilities as well.
Now with a year under your belt, what are the top three challenges that you've faced and what are you doing to address those challenges?
Yes. Spent about 3 months or so really assessing where I thought the organization was in its use of IT and how we were managing IT overall throughout DHS. I really found three areas that are primary importance that I'm trying to address. First, we need to improve how we manage particularly our largest IT investments. We have some very, very good people across the board. But overall, I would say we're just not managing many of these investments as well as we need to. And so this whole area of both program reviews, essentially my version of the tech stats that Vivek Kundra has done, based on those, there's been significant changes to some programs based on those reviews. But going forward, it's really about institutionalizing, if you will, best practices and really working to make sure that the proper governance and oversight exists for these programs and the proper disciplines are being implemented in these programs to manage them effectively and that we have them properly staffed, okay, with the right kind of individuals that know how to do this work and oversight this type of work. Number two is really the infrastructure layer. I mentioned earlier we have the data center consolidation initiative within the Department of Homeland Security, our OneNet initiative to bring together one physical network infrastructure. There's other things we're doing. We're rolling out things like rationalizing our Active Directory structure, our email as a service offering through these two data centers. There's a number of things we're doing at an enterprise level that we need to get done. And I say that because it's important for the organization. If you're in the private sector and you do mergers and acquisitions, when you bring companies together, one of the first things you always do is harmonize and, if you will, collapse your IT infrastructure, right, and your back office systems. Perhaps it's taken us longer than it should. One could argue that. But that's exactly what we're doing here at DHS, and we need to finish that job. And that's a big, big focus area of mine right now to help us continue to push that forward and get that stuff done. That will help all of these 22 agencies do their jobs more effectively. And then the third area is kind of an interesting one, and I think goes to the heart of really trying to be one DHS, as the Secretary has discussed. While we're one department, too often we still operate as up to 22 different component organizations. And how that manifests itself in IT is there's just too much of building similar things across these different organizations and not enough leverage and information sharing. And again, there are certainly pockets where we do it. I mean, I'll give you an example, our whole screening function and vetting individuals like at border crossings and the like. A lot of cooperation that goes on there between CBP and ICE and TSA. But in general, there are many, many functions that were replicated. And when I did these reviews, these 81 reviews, you could see it where you have a program that was building something in one component and then you'd see another program later that was building something very similar in another component. And we just need to be collaborating in much better ways. And so this idea of doing a cross-cutting governance model where we're looking at things from a function or portfolio perspective that cross-cut the components, I think is very critical to get to one DHS. And it's something that I'm pushing very hard on. can't get any of this done without a really good staff. And this isn't to take away from contractors that we hire. They do great work for us. But that being said, we need to have a strong government employee base within our IT functions to make this work. And so getting that right balance, I think, is really critical. When I walked in the door, just to give you a sense of it, in the headquarters function, I had 100 employees or so and about 900 contractors. Well, I think on the face of it, that doesn't sound right. And so we're really looking to rebalance that workforce, and we're aggressively recruiting and getting some very good people to join us as employees. And today I'm proud to say that we have 240 employees on board in my organization 1 year later, and we're headed up above 350 in the next year. So I'm very pleased with how that's going. So I think that's another critical challenge we face, is to get that balance right, not just in my headquarters CIO function, but in some of the other functions, some of the other IT functions, I should say, in the components.
Richard, I'd like to transition to learn more about you. You've spent more than 20 years in the private sector, and now you're on your second stint in public sector. Would you describe your career path to our listeners, and how did you begin your career, and what brought you to your current leadership role?
Sure. First, from an educational perspective, I'm a technologist. I have multiple degrees in electrical and computer engineering, and as a hobby, picked up a math degree. So that gives you a sense of the kind of person that I am. I came out of school and joined, at that time, was a relatively small company, SRA International, which many of you, of the listeners, I'm sure, would know of, because they do a lot of government contracting work here in town. And I spent 16 years there and started out as an engineer, did quite a bit of work. And at that time, network design and analysis. Actually built a lot of algorithms in that particular area, so did quite a bit of actual software development work early in my career. Moved into task management on programs and then actually running smaller projects and then into program management. And so when people, you know, ask what's my real specialty area, I really like to say that it is that large-scale program management. Ended up running one of four major divisions at SRA International. And we actually then spun off, and this was back in the heyday of the internet boom, we actually spun off some technology we had developed in data mining. And for about 4 years, I ran a company then called Mantis. And we were selling data mining solutions, looking at trading compliance, looking at anti-money laundering for major banks and brokerage firms, including firms on Wall Street. So I always like to say that I've dealt with some of the toughest customers I think you can possibly deal with. And yet we were quite successful in that. Decided to leave that firm, though, I think it was 2003, and was really thinking about what I wanted to do next. And I'd always wanted to do some public service, Michael, in my career. I thought it would be at the twilight of my career, frankly. But got into some discussions through some connections I had at the IRS. And at the time, the gentleman who was running their business systems modernization program, who had come out of retirement actually to do it, was looking to go back into retirement, which is fair. And they were looking for a new leader. And so they offered me that job. So I came into the IRS to run the BSM program, as it's known. Certainly one of the largest, most complex modernization efforts ever undertaken. And did that for 2.5 years or so. And they asked me to become their CIO, and I did that. And then ultimately, they asked me to become the Deputy Commissioner for Operations Support, the number three in the organization at the IRS. And so I had a good run there, about 4.5 years. I run hard. I work hard. And I needed a break. I'd be very honest with you. I needed that break. So I took a year off, did some consulting work, trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I got a call to whether I'd be interested in coming into the Obama administration as the CIO of Department of Homeland Security, and looked at that, talked to some folks, and decided to take this on as a challenge. So been here a year.
With that experience, what makes an effective leader in your mind? And more importantly for me, who has influenced you and your leadership style?
I always try to take a view that I'm only going to be as successful as those that are under me. I can certainly focus on that leadership of the direct reports right under me. So I constantly ask myself, am I doing the things that can put them in a position to be successful? Because if I can make that happen, then I will be successful in the role I'm in. People call that servant leadership, and I like that term. I'm not always having to be the guy out front, although I am many times, like here, being the spokesperson for the department on IT issues. But I really try to take that view. How do I help? And in this case, it even also extends to the CIOs and the components, right? How do I position them for them to grow, to be successful in their roles with that same philosophy? So that's a sense of why. There's been a number of individuals that I have worked under that have really, I think, helped influence me. And, it might be trite to say, but you start with your parents. I mean, they were great role models for me in how to be a man of integrity, a person of integrity, a person that can be counted on, can be trusted, is so, so important to me. That being said, when I got into the work world, there certainly are a number of individuals, but I might highlight Ted Legacy as a gentleman that I worked with for years, worked under him for years at SRA International. And when you work with someone for 10-plus years in that kind of role and you admire his leadership style and the way he handled things, those kinds of things rub off. So that's one example, a great example for me of a real leader.
What about DHS's efforts to enhance its IT governance? We will ask Richard Spires, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.